Are all hearts clear? I often wonder what would happen if Rick, when he says that, or any speaker, if someone were to speak up and say, "Not yet." And I haven't been in this meeting for as long as some of you. Has that ever happened? Okay. I just don't. If there's something more, tell me. Before we get started, I do want to say I woke up with a terrible crick in my neck, so if it feels like I'm only preaching at this side, I'm not ignoring you. I'm preaching at everyone. I just can't turn as easily to this side. And I do want to say, too, before I get started, one of the great things about giving the message, one, you get to choose the music. And so chose some of our favorites. The boys, I was glad I chose the Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine, as the first hymn, because that's the boys' favorite, along with Hark the Herald Angels Sing. That was not, we weren't ready for that one. And they asked us to sing that year-round, Hark the Herald, as they call it. So, but their other favorite is Blessed Assurance. I enjoy being able to choose some of my hymns, and then the other benefit is being able to sit here, and I can hear Linda's beautiful voice so much more clearly. There is a flip side to that, though. Never mind. But today I'm going to start with one of my favorite poems. It's a poem that I've read here in the meeting before, and I think it sets the stage nicely for the message. It's a poem written by Gerard Manley Hopkins. It was written in 1877, but published after his death in 1918, sometime after his death, in fact. It's called Pied Beauty, and pied means it's an older word we don't use anymore. It's a word for dappled or multicolored. Glory be to God for dappled things, for skies of couple color as a brinded cow, for rose moles all in stipple upon trout that swim, fresh fire-coal chestnut falls, finches' wings, landscape plotted and pieced, fold, fallow, and plow, and all trades, their gear and tackle and trim, all things counter, original, spare, strange, whatever is fickle, freckled, who knows how, with swift, slow, sweet, sour, adazzle, dim, he fathers forth whose beauty is past change. Praise him. Now, my first inclination when I went about preparing the sermon for today was to ignore the fact that it was the last Sunday before Thanksgiving and to speak on some other topic. I thought, these people want to hear something different, an alternative to the usual message that occurs on the last Sunday before the third Thursday each November. I thought perhaps I could talk about sin and how it's bad and how we shouldn't do it. That didn't seem to fit. That's not our style. So I suppose I explored other possible topics. I considered speaking about transubstantiation and the role it plays in the modern Quaker church. But that sermon would have been really short. So, and that's the other benefit to the benefit that you all have to having, we'll call, say, a guest speaker, and that is the sermons do tend to be shorter. So, but not as short as transubstantiation in the Quaker church. So just as we always have turkey and green bean casserole each Thanksgiving, each year, once again we'll talk about Thanksgiving and giving thanks on the Sunday before Thanksgiving. But just as someone always tries to bring something new or something with a twist to the big meal, maybe leaving the peels on some of the mashed potatoes or using cream of celery soup in the green bean casserole, I'll try to add a little twist or something different to today's message. And I've been thinking about this topic for some time. In a way, I was formulating the ideas for today's comments long before I was asked to speak. You see, I like to walk. I walk to work whenever I can, year-round. I like to walk just around town. I think it's a great way to see things a lot better than you would in a car. I like to walk through the woods, but just as well down the sidewalks. And I think there's no better way to see the world around us than when we slow ourselves down and look around. It's also a great way to think, to ponder, if you will. When we think about Thanksgiving, that is, when we think about giving thanks, we often put things in abstract terms. We are grateful. We are glad to have the things that we have. And we put them in more concrete terms as well. That is, we thank each other. We thank our friends, our family. We thank our waiter. We thank veterans. We thank God for what we have. But there is more to being thankful or grateful than that. Thanks can and should be proactive. That is, we should not only give thanks, we should be seeking thanks too. Now, I don't mean we should seek praise from others or look for others to thank us. That's not what I mean. And I'll clarify. We live in a vast world that is full of beauty and wonder. Each flower and each leaf is a jewel hand-picked and placed just so by a powerful and omniscient God. The wind through the tall grass is a song composed by our Creator. The ocean crashing on the rocky shoreline is a symphony. This week, we experienced an ice storm. And yes, it created some elements of danger, but wasn't it beautiful? Bud may disagree, because the Bradford pears that came down created a big mess close to his office. But it was beautiful. Each berry and twig and pine needle and power line was covered in ice and glistened like a crystal. In front of the courthouse in one of the big planters, I even saw a Budweiser bottle that was just covered in a thick layer of ice. And it looked jewel encrusted as the light hit it. And not long ago, our city and countryside were awash with the glorious colors of autumn. A simple drive to Walmart brought us awe-inspiring views of red and rust and orange and gold. And of course, we have the flowers of spring and the lush green of summer. And all these things are pleasing to the eye, and we have God to thank for their very existence. But even more powerful a force is at work here. What gift God has given us is our very ability to perceive and to take in these sights and allow them to enrich our lives. Without that ability, what do we have? We, as being created in God's own image, are a special creation. We're apart from any other animal because we see things not just in terms of survival, of food, or danger, or procreation. We have the ability to appreciate goodness and to appreciate beauty for their own sake. A combination of light and lenses and synapses and nerves, all conceived and executed by our Creator, manifests in our mind and our soul all the beauty around us. Yes, you see, our very ability to see and to feel and to experience the beauty of our world is cause for praise, and it's cause for joy, and it's cause for thanksgiving. Each delicate insect as it toils away to eat and move around, is a thing to behold. Each song of each bird, each... I can, and Jenny can tell you, I often do go on and on, but I'll move away from nature for just a moment. For God's gifts are not so limited as what's in our natural world. Think about the details of our own meeting. And right now, we talk about the church is not the structure. The church is who is here. But think a little bit about the structure. Think about where we are right now. Each song sung today are hymns of worship and praise. Or consider just the quiet music in the voices of those around us, of our loved ones. At home, we feel the cozy comfort of a soft blanket. The warmth we feel in the palms of our hands when we hold morning's first cup of coffee or tea. My father's not a coffee drinker, but he can still feel the warm cup in the morning. Each sensation is the result of our Creator's masterwork, and for this we should give thanks. Now, seeking out thanks, being on the lookout, being on the ready to take in, to experience, to appreciate all that God has made and all that is around us can be a hard habit to form. We often talk about how we need to think of Christ's resurrection more than just on Easter, his birth more than just at Christmas. And we, the imperfect people that we are, fail in this, of course, but we can still try, and we should still try. And just so, we should try to be mindful of all the things for which that God has given us, for which we can give thanks. And that's a habit that is worth investing in. Now think about the structure of the church. Just look around us and see the handiwork of friends present and past. There's beauty in it all. Simple things, well, maybe not so simple, but things such as the columns and the speakers that Ken and Carl B. Niles put together so we could hear the speakers and hear the hymns and hear the beautiful music. Think of the Bill Cable's handmade clocks in the kitchen and the dining room, or the knives in the kitchen worn thin by years of friends cooking for friends. And it's easy to look at these things and see only utilitarian items. Or worse yet, we might look past them and see nothing at all. But God gives us the ability not just to perceive that which is around us, but to feel goodness about it. If we start to experience our world as God's creation and to take it in and thank him for all he has made, and thank him for giving us the ability to see his world and that all that is in it as good and beautiful and worthy of praise, then our lives will be that much more enriched. And we will be living that much closer to our Creator, to our God. All of God's creation is good, Paul wrote to Timothy. Now, this can be hard for us to understand. In fact, it is impossible for us to understand that. But there is still much more good than bad, much more beauty than ugliness. Our problem is that we have the nasty habit of being on the lookout for the bad. The small pebble in our shoe can ruin the best sunset over the water if we let it. The artist and sculptor Auguste Rodin, of the thinker fame, wrote that in the union of the beautiful and the ugly, it is always the beautiful that finally gets the upper hand. Nature, by a divine law, constantly returns to the better. It incessantly turns to perfection. Again, said Rodin, beauty is everywhere. It is not beauty that is wanting in our eyes, but it is that our eyes fail to perceive it. God has given us the ability to perceive this beauty that is everywhere. We need to remember that and use that and thank Him for that. If we do as the hymn directs us, if we do turn our eyes upon Jesus, if we truly do that, not on Sundays or mealtime or bedtime, but at every moment, then we are turning our eyes to that which He has made, to that which our Creator has made. If we do that, we are living a fuller life, a life with more praise and more thanksgiving and more goodness and more godliness. Praise Him. And now, if we can sing the last hymn, which is number 1 in our hymnal, For the Beauty of the Earth.